If you've been curious about Bitcoin but haven't made the jump yet, Cash App makes it easy. You can set up automatic purchases with zero fees or buy larger amounts also with zero fees. Start small or go bigger. It's designed to be simple either way. For a limited time, new customers can get $10 added to their balance. Just use code CASHAPP10 when you sign up. And don't forget this part, send at least $5 to a friend in the first 2 weeks. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Bitcoin services provided by Block, Inc. brand. For additional information, see the Bitcoin disclosures at cash.app/legal/podcast. $1,000 a month from simple apps. Now, thanks to AI, anybody can make an app now, but just because you can make it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make you money. In this episode, we're going to bridge that gap with my go-to guy for all things app marketing from appmasters.com, Steve Young. Welcome back to the Side Hustle Show. It's been almost a decade, man.
It's been crazy, Nick. I'm honored to consider you a friend and to be a listener as well. So I'm super honored to be back.
I'm excited. Hopefully it won't be 9 years before the next appearance here. Now, you shared a couple examples of apps that on the surface look pretty straightforward, making 500, 1,000, 2,500 bucks a month, a frequency generator app for, I don't know, binaural beats or healing or something like that. A JPEG to PDF converter seems pretty straightforward. Ones that are like relatively simple ideas, but how are you coming up with this stuff? Because it's like, I want to build what I want to build, but it's like, no. I want to go where there's some level of demand versus just building something and putting it out there.
Distribution is the name of the game. And Nick, I love this quote. First time founders focus on features. Second time founders focus on distribution. So to answer your question, I just look at what people are searching for. Look, I know a lot about ASO, which is just SEO for the App Store. And so I just see, hey, and I'm going to break down all the tools that you use that are free. And you can do keyword research, figure out what people are searching for. Then you build an app because that's the quickest path to revenue. And that's all we're trying to figure out. And that's what we've discovered is distribution is just so hard that should be the number one thing you think about versus like adding more features to an app.
Yeah, less is more. Kind of like, what's the one single problem that it solves, it sounds like?
Yeah, I mean, all the apps that I sent you, they solve just one single problem. The more niche you could be, the higher likelihood that people are going to pay for your app. And so for that frequency generator app, as an example, like you can do a sleep sounds app. Like people use it for sleep sounds to sleep or either focus. You can go after those keywords or you can be more niche. So what I say is like, okay, sleep sounds or focus sounds, focus timer, or you can be more niche and go binaural beats, frequency generator. All you really need is 100 downloads a day to have a six-figure business in the app space. And I know you're only just trying to get to 1,000. So you can just half that by 10% if you want to just get to 1,000.
Really? That feels very feasible. That feels like, oh, I can find 10 people out of the entirety of the internet. I can find 10 people a day.
Yeah, it's that easy. I'll break down the apps that we have and I'll say how many downloads and how much revenue. But that's all you need. And with this app, we purchased it 100 downloads a day. It's only charging a one-time fee of like $2.99. And it did not have a paywall on the onboarding. All right, that's number one monetization tip. During the onboarding process of any app, it's free to download, have a paywall. Yes, people are going to pay you before they actually use your app. All right, I know it's very different if you're coming from the web world. But yes, people who pay 80%.
Yeah, because if I like, oh, that kind of like makes me tighten up. Like, oh, isn't that like okay. Bait and switch?
Nick's a very nice guy. So he doesn't like this type of stuff, but it works, Nick. Okay, so you have to have the paywall on the onboarding. Okay, you have to ask for it. So that app did not have it. What we did when we bought it was we then added the paywall to the onboarding. We increased the price because I looked at the market. People were charging $60 a year. So we just copied that price. We added that in there. Instantly went from 1 to 2,000 with just 100 downloads a day to 8 to 10,000 revenue just like that. And I have the charts to show you, but it went that quickly with just 100 downloads a day.
Okay, so the downloads stayed the same because it was already ranking in the App Store optimization. And it was just, what tweaks can we make on the back end to squeeze more revenue out of it, to optimize some of the other elements of it?
No new features either, Nick. Okay. No new features at all. It was all the same features, just a paywall on the onboarding with an increased price and went from a one-time purchase to a subscription of $60.
Oh, okay. Okay, now it was recurring. Got it.
Yeah, we went to recurring. When we bought it, it was not even recurring. They just had a one-time fee.
Okay. Got it. Well, that's exciting. So let's dive into some of this research process and saying, okay, I'm excited. 10 to 100 downloads a day. That seems feasible, at least from the outside looking in. Maybe it's much harder than that, but what goes into this?
Okay. I'll start with the JPEG one because that's doing about $500 a month.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I want to start out with that one, Nick, is I thought PDF converters were so saturated, right? Like there's so many of them. There's some big ones that do PDF conversion, PDF generation, all this stuff. And I thought it was super crowded. But when we were doing keyword research, I was like, hey, people are searching for JPEG to PDF. Like what? People are searching for PNG, PNG to PDF as well. I was like, oh, interesting. All right, here are real numbers. I'm using ASO Mobile. I'm not affiliated with them at all. ASOmobile.net. They have a free plan that you can get started with. Right? And you want to find the different keywords. So I have Paraphrase, which is one of our apps that's making about $2,600 a month, right? To be specific. Now it should do more because we just got number one for these two tools. But you want to find keywords around 30, right? And this app is not even ranking that well. You can see some of the keyword volumes it's ranking for. Paraphrase AI being number one, also Paraphrase tool. And now those downloads alone are generating the $2,500 a month for this app.
What is that a score of? Is that kind of like a competitiveness metric or what is that measuring?
It's a traffic score. So you want a traffic score of at least, let's say 20 on the low end, but try to find 30. The app that we had 100 downloads a day, it was ranking number one. And you want to be number one, if you can, for two keywords with a search score of around 30 is the sweet spot.
Okay.
We have another app that is doing way more now, but it initially launched with just targeting those two keywords. And we were able to make $1,600 within the first month of launch.
Wow.
So it was just finding those two keywords. And I use ASO Mobile. I go down to app keywords. You can put in any app that you're like, hey, what's an app? You know, one of the best ways to do it, Nick, is obviously do a lot of keyword research or also look at the app store. See what apps are in the top grossing. Put that app in there. And for us, it was like ChatGPT, right? Like, okay, people are using ChatGPT, but what are they using ChatGPT for? What's the functionality within ChatGPT that people just want an app for? And we found that Paraphrase was the one that people were searching for. And so we decided to build an app to target that particular keyword.
Okay. So the play is to look at the apps that are super popular, that are doing well, and then almost an unbundling of some of their feature set, because people may not need the whole thing, or they want, like, I want the go-to source for the specific problem that I'm trying to solve.
Yep, absolutely. So if you think about Endel, right? Endel is an app that does focus and sleep sounds.
Okay.
I'll show you how much they're making. So I'm going to pull up Endel on Sensor Tower. This is free, by the way. You guys can pull it up. It's making about $1 million a month.
A month?
Super huge. A month. And so I'm like, okay, they're going after super competitive keywords like focus and sleep sounds. What are some keywords that Endel is not focused on that I can start to target? And so green noise, if you remember Calm, was doing a lot of green noise ads. And guess what happened, Nick? People were searching for green noise. So there's another strategy.
I've never even heard of green noise. This is like nature sounds?
Yeah. So this is one of our apps right here. We're number two for green noise.
Okay.
Calm was doing a lot of TV ads talking about, hey, this green noise, it's really good for nature and all this stuff. And so people started searching for it. So one idea is use keyword tools to see popular apps and what people are searching for. Or just look at the ads. Like there's a Facebook ads library now of the big apps and see like the really big apps, the Calms of the world, the fitness, like the Pelotons of the world. What are they searching for? But really do keyword research and then build the app. And that's how we built this Green Noise app. As you can see, this one's doing about $200-$300 a month, just purely based off of the Green Noise keyword.
Okay. And so again, in this example, it says free with in-app purchases, but like, are people going to be able to use it until they pay?
Yes. For this particular app, you get the green noise for free, but everything else you're going to have to pay for. So there's also pink noise, brown noise, blue noise, whatever color you like.
Okay. So we got like a freemium model in this case.
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't like it. I'd rather you just go straight into paid right away. Because we have seen that sometimes for niche apps, just going paid right away is better. Like there's no freemium option. You either pay or get out. And that's what I call a hard paywall. So if you were launching an app, that's how I would launch the app. Force them to pay you and see if people are willing to pay you. And then start thinking about a freemium model later on.
Okay. This is super cool. This is helpful to look at some of the biggest apps that are out there and trying to find like
they're tertiary keywords that they don't really care about because they've got big marketing budgets. They're going after like really highly competitive terms, but I could unbundle a forgotten feature of theirs and hopefully rank number one, be a big fish in a small pond.
You've been doing this for a long time. You said it way better than I did, Nick. It's great. I'm going to steal that one.
Okay. Anything else on the market research side? It would be surprising to come up with something like never before seen. Like somebody else has probably beat me to this, and that is going to be discouraging. Or like, did you say, well, maybe there's some validation there? Or what level of competitiveness is like, oh, shoot, it's already been done, or I got to go one layer deeper down into the niche?
Yeah. Here's another thing that I do. Okay. So let's just pick on green noise for now. Okay, found the keyword, Calm's ranking for it. ASO Mobile says it has that traffic score that I need. Now look at the search results. ASO Mobile will have their complexity score, or other way of phrasing it, it's difficulty. It may not be as accurate, right? But it gives you some indication. So you can see like, okay, I'm looking for 30 and I'm looking for a pretty low difficulty score. But I also look at the search results. And what I'm looking for is how many apps have it in their title. So if you know SEO, you know the title is the most important part. Or the app name. And if there's not that many.
In this case, it looks like two on the first page.
Yeah. Then you know you got something there that you can be like, okay, not only is there search volume, but if as a new app, I can build it and get it to rank well because there's not a lot of competition for it. And so that's how you start breaking down. You unbundle the big app and then you go, all right, what does the competition look like? If you don't want to pay for a tool, just look for it in the app store and just figure out which ones have it in their title. And then if they do have it in the title, look about the ratings. So if you wanted to build a green noise app, Nick, I'd be like, do it. The number two app only has 138 ratings. Like that's not that much, right? It's not in hundreds of thousands of ratings. Whereas meditation, you know, now we're talking about something different. Now you're talking about like apps that are...
Yeah, with sometimes millions of reviews probably.
And this is too much. Like, I don't go after that term.
Yeah, Calm, Headspace, yeah, all these huge brands.
You're not going to compete. You're not going to outrank them either. So go in the niche of this big app.
Is there a rule of thumb to say like, okay, if too many people are targeting this in their title or there's too many entrenched reviews or players where it's like, I don't want to touch it.
It's just the number of ratings. Because if I feel like the ratings give me an indication of how much I can beat them. Let's say there's an app, let's say we found one that was like Green Noise and there was a lot more, right? There's like five or six. And I'm like, oh man, but they all had like 100. I'm like, no problem. Go for it. You can probably beat them. There's no incumbent to beat like that has 16,000.
Yeah, that's like the very clear market leader.
Yeah. As long as that doesn't exist, then you'll be okay.
Okay. How about on the JPEG to PDF converter? Like even figuring out that was a keyword, like some of the stuff I wouldn't even necessarily know about. And it looks like some of these on ASO Mobile maybe are brand names that people are searching for directly. Maybe a framework or two to come up with even seed keywords or broad topic ideas.
Yeah. So one of the other things I looked at, like Paraphrase, I noticed that Paraphrase AI was getting some ranking on Google, right? And Google is a good source for app downloads, especially if people search for, let's say, Paraphrase app as an example, right? So you got 700, I'm using keywords everywhere as a Google plugin right here. So that's why okay. I'm getting all these search results.
Yeah.
But another thing we can do... Nick, like, you know, remember the SEO days, we look at Google Keyword Tool. So that's another way that you can look for it. And you're looking for things around app. So even if you, let's say you're inspired to do something. We talked a lot about baseball and some walkout music stuff. And then we're like, okay, it's inspirational. Great. One, is there somebody doing well in the app space? Good. That validated the market. There's demand for this, meaning they're making money. Two, are people searching for it? Now, I use search. But if you don't want to, you can run ads, but I don't want to spend money to make money. I'm cheap. So I'm doing search. So now I'm like, okay, well, Paraphrase, when ChatGPT was hot, I was like, what's something you can do within that? And then if you look at this, you see that it's 12,000 searches. So it gave me some indication that yes, people are searching for this on the app store as well. And before we were able to even rank well for Paraphrase itself, which is a brand new thing as of this recording, literally just happened, Nick. We were able to make that much money. So if you had me on like a month or two later on, I think that Paraphrase is going to get to $5,000 a month now that we're ranking well for Paraphrase itself.
And what's the use case? Like, I'm having a hard time understanding what even, like, it's just like for article spinning. Like, why are people wanting to Paraphrase stuff? You know, summarize this for me. What does it do?
Let's say I'm a student. I had ChatGPT created this paragraph. Now I want to make it sound more human so that it bypasses the ChatGPT stuff, bypass GPT, another keyword. Then that allows you to do that. So the same thing with paraphrase. The way I thought about it, and we've added way more functionality now, like you can literally talk within the app if you're a non-English speaker, and it will paraphrase it to English for you. So it won't just do a normal translation. It'll actually paraphrase it for you. So if you wrote some stuff out and you're like, this, I did it in funny mode. So I'll take this description. I'll throw it into paraphrase AI. I use it too. And then I'll be like, make it funny. And then it will make it funny. And I'm like, great. Make it sound more professional. So it has different modes in there too.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that's why I like the JPEG, because PDF converter, scanner, these were keywords that have been in existence since I first started, right? And then now when I went deeper, I'm looking at my ASO spreadsheet that I have here, but I see document scanner, photo to PDF, the picture to PDF. So these are all keywords that you can target that is just beyond, it's still the same niche of a PDF converter, but again, those big guys probably aren't going to go after these smaller keywords that, you know, you and I can vibe code super easily.
Yeah, $1,000 a month isn't interesting to them, but for side hustlers, I could stack up 4 or 5 of these different little tools, and all of a sudden, I'm doing good.
Hey, after this episode, I hope to see a lot of apps called Picture to PDF. How about that? Okay. Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the next thing. Coming up, Steve shares his greatest growth hack in the world, the one that took one app from $2,000 to $7,000 a month without adding a single new feature, plus some more juicy app marketing and conversion tips to make more money from your upcoming projects.
One customer says, this tool literally spoiled me. It's so easy. Another added that it's taken a point of anxiety and turned it into a seamless an easy process. Of course, they're talking about our sponsor, Gusto. Gusto is the online and payroll benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Think of it like cleaning out your virtual junk drawer, all that admin chaos that's been piling up all year, and then installing a lean and clean system instead. You can automate your direct deposits, payroll taxes, health benefits, 401k contributions, and you can do it in a way that fits your budget with no hidden fees and no surprises. Plus, if you have any questions, Gusto gives you direct access to certified HR experts. It's no wonder why over 400,000 small businesses already trust Gusto for their payroll and HR needs. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's gusto, G-U-S-T-O, gusto.com/sidehustle. Scrappy side hustlers have an advantage over bigger competitors, and that's speed. The faster you can pick up the phone, the faster you can respond to customer messages, the better. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O. This is the business communication system built so you never miss a call. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2 with over 3,000 reviews, and it's built for how modern teams work. In fact, more than 90,000 businesses, from side hustlers and solo operators to growing teams, already rely on Quo to stay connected and stay on top of everything. If you're outgrowing using your personal cell phone as your business line, Quo makes it easy for you. Calls, texts, voicemails, transcripts, AI summaries, and contact deals all in one clean view in an app on your phone or on your computer, so you and your team always have the full picture for a better customer experience. Money is on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free, plus get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/sidehustle. That's Quo, Quo.com/sidehustle.
So we've talked about ASO Mobile, we talked about keywords everywhere, just different tools and resources to see what is out there, and less looking at the volume, but rather than this keyword score, because that kind of gives you a sense of what you might be able to achieve, and aiming for a 30 on there. It's higher than that, my understanding, is probably going to be too competitive for you, even though it may be higher volume. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. Like the JPEG to PDF is about 56 right now, and it's 62 difficulty, according to my tools that I have. But also, again, that's why I said, look at the search results, because this looking at the search results will tell you how truly competitive a keyword is, whereas all these tools will come up with their own random score. And so when I do this, I'm like, okay, as long as the score, traffic score, matches what I want, great. then I can get it to start ranking. And like we've seen that like having the keyword repeated in the first screen helps because people search for that keyword. You see that keyword in a screenshot, you're more likely to tap on this. Having people, a human face in that also helps. And so we're using some of the best practices.
On the first slide of these little like sample screenshots, the marketing screenshots. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause where are you like most likely to click on, right? Like,
yeah, it definitely stands out.
Yeah. So that's some of the best practice. The first screenshots show up in the search results. So you definitely want to have the targeted keyword in your first screenshot. And for me, because I'm doing the long tail way of doing it, I don't need an app name. The app name is literally the keyword that I'm targeting. And it is that simple.
Don't need to come up with a full branding package for this. It delivers what it promises.
You don't need more features. You can literally just do a one featured product. And as long as you have distribution, that's going to be enough for you. I got so many examples of apps that are just doing bonkers in terms of revenues with just simple features. You're like, really? You did that a bunch of times today already, Nick. Really? This app? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's maybe most surprising about it is like in my head, it's this very complicated and technical thing. But it's like if you can do one thing well and slice off, you know, just a piece of that market, I think there's definitely a path forward there.
Especially if you're just side hustling, man. This is automatic, right? As long as you get that ranking, then that's all you really need.
Yeah.
From a monetization perspective, definitely have your paywall. From a pricing perspective, how to price different products, just look at your competitors. And just copy it. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. None of this is reinventing anything. It's taking, like you said, taking a very popular product, unbundling some of their features, seeing if that feature has volume and if you can rank for that feature, and then literally charging the same price for the bundled product is what we did to take that $1 to $2,000 app to $8 to $10,000. We just said, hey, Endel's charging 60. Let's just charge 60. And it worked. And I was just like, okay. And so
yeah,
it was just a feature, but Endel had a lot more, but we just took the feature and just charged the same amount. And so if you want to charge a little bit less, sure, go for it.
That would be $60 a year is kind of the default price point.
I mean, it depends on the category. Like these like one-time use apps, like the JPEG to PDF. So this is interesting too, Nick, maybe in terms of pricing, it really depends. So that's why I said copy what's working. So JPEG to PDF, the most popular plan, Nick, is a weekly plan.
Okay. But still recurring.
Yes. So like here within Sensor Tower, you can pull in. So I have Endel here. It's making a million. If you scroll down, Apple actually ranks the most popular in-app purchase. So you can see their most popular one is 120 for the yearly. So now you're like, cool, I can charge 60 for the yearly.
Okay.
Right. And for my Paraphrase app, our most popular plan, and for most AI apps, is the weekly. For most, depends on the category. So we can see if you scroll down here, top in app purchases, you can see my weekly plan of $6.99 is the most popular plan.
That's helpful. Follow the leader, see what everybody else is doing, and leaning towards recurring versus, you know, a one-off payment, you know, if all else being equal, if you're going to pay me multiple times, of course, that sounds more attractive.
With Paraphrase, dude, I launched it here. I'll show you this paywall change. We launched in October. We're able to rank it pretty quickly and get downloads, thousands of downloads. So we launched it with we're promoting the yearly. So we have a 7-day trial on the yearly, it's $50. And then we switched to B, which is the 3-day trial on the weekly. So if you're going to do weekly, generally 3 days is enough. If you're going to do yearly at a very high level, it's different for all apps, but 7-day generally works the best, okay? So this B made 3 times more sales, and I'll break it all down for you. So the first 3 months we launched this, we only made $2,000. People bought the yearly, they activated the trial, Nick, but they canceled. So we only made $800 within the first 3 months of launch. So when we moved it to this, where we said, okay, yearly, no more trial. Forget you. If you want yearly, you got to pay us up front. But if you want weekly, it's the 3-day trial, and we're going to charge you $7 a week. Okay. So when we changed that, that's when it went up to 6,000 the next 3 months. So with one-time use apps, what I would say is weekly tends to perform very well, like JPEG to PDF converter, Paraphrase. It's going to be one-time use. If it's like a frequency app, like that people would use every day, go with yearly, but you can just see what the market is doing and just copy it.
Got it. Okay. And then Apple or the App Store is taking like their 30% cut on all of this stuff.
Yeah, they do 15 if you're under a million, but yeah, they'll take their cut, which sucks.
Okay. But they're giving you the distribution in a way.
They are.
No, that's totally fine. I was going to ask if you have any best practices on the creation side, whether it's reverse prompting or, you know, asking Claude Code or whatever your favorite tool is to go out and build the actual nuts and bolts of this thing before you can add it to the app stores.
Yeah, I mean, Claude Code is by far the most popular. Right now, that's what all the developers are using. And they're going back and forth within ChatGPT as well and Codex and being like, okay, help me debug this, or what's the right way to prompt this? I think for me, it's really just like, can this do this one thing very well? So, hey, build me an app that just converts JPEGs to PDF or takes a picture and or takes it to a PDF. And it's an easy prompt, but that JPEG to PDF maybe took 2 or 3 days max for us to just get it out in the app store. We didn't even have the ideal user experience. We just wanted to see if we can get downloads for the app first. Then if we could and get it to rank, then we start building on top of it and adding a proper paywall and all that stuff. And so that's how we kind of dissect it.
Okay. Okay. So the first version may not even have a paywall. The first version is just like, let's get it functional and get it uploaded.
Time is the most important variable. If it's going to take you a week to get that paywall in there,
yeah,
then just launch it. If it's going to take you a couple hours and you're really invested in this, then I would prefer ideally launching with a paywall, because then you could really see if people are willing to pay for it if you get that distribution. But if you don't have the time yet, then go ahead, launch it.
Got it.
So one of my favorite strategies, Nick, is to do what I call a lifetime growth hack. So I call this the greatest growth hack in the world. And it worked for one of the clients. So we took an app that was making about $200 a month and made it to $7,000 a month with just doing the things that we talked about. Okay. So now, number one, ratings prompt during the first time user experience. Yes, that works. About 1% of all the downloads would leave a review for you. Because like I said before, reviews do matter in terms of how well you rank. Not the most important, but they are still important. Do ASO, which is SEO for the App Store. Optimize your paywall. Definitely have it during the onboarding experience. And then what we're going to do is make a lifetime offer, and we're going to make it for free. And we're going to promote it. And we do have this service that we acquired called Indie App Santa, which is just Groupon for apps, or AppSumo for apps. Now, there was pushback because Apple was starting to email developers saying, like, you're doing something funky. That's probably because we're getting a boost in downloads, we're getting a boost in free in-app purchases, and we're getting a boost in reviews. So Apple's like, let's stop.
Something abnormal is happening here.
Yeah, yeah. But we did 100,000 downloads for an AI app, created a lifetime offer. We did the ASO first, right? We did the ASO. We changed his paywall a little bit, and then we added a ratings prompt during the first time user experience. So we did 100,000 downloads, 800 new ratings, 200 in the US, 600 worldwide. If I had to eliminate one step, it would be this. I would ask for it a little bit later, like maybe day two or after they did something within the app, I would ask for the rating. So yes, we'll get less ratings, but we'll still get ratings out of this.
Is it just kind of a notification, or is this just part of like the user flow in the app that you would ask Claude Code to be like, put a little notification or a request to leave a review after this step or something? Yeah.
It is a built-in iOS prompt. So it's just a default thing that pops up.
Okay.
Yeah. It's something you can tell Claude Code to do. So it made $7,000 right after that because the ASO started kicking in. Because now we have ratings. Now we have a fully optimized keyword and title. So the app was just making a few hundred bucks and it launched in 2023. Just make a few hundred bucks for a long time. And then within the first month, we made it to 7,000, then to 6,000, then to 5,000. The app went on to make 70,000 and ultimately 90,000. Within the first year of us working with this particular app using that exact strategy. So Apple is starting to send emails because of these ratings boosts. So if you just wait on the ratings boost, I think you'll be fine and you'll get the benefits of that initial boost of doing that lifetime offer. You don't have to do this. It's just an option. If you're like, hey, keywords aren't sticking, Steve, you know, I followed this. Well, this is another like plan B to it all.
Okay. To kind of give it a little marketing push, and then hopefully it sticks in the rankings is kind of the goal. I mean, similar to self-publishing, where I'm going to do this free launch, or I'm going to do this discounted launch and just flex some marketing muscle and hopefully get the algorithm spinning in your favor after that.
See, I have a fancy little soundboard that I can use for that. That's a correct answer, Nick.
Ding, ding, ding. Nice.
But here's an app that went just, I wanted to give you more details. Like this is one app that just went from like $10 a day to $1,000 a month. So they're not always going to be $7,000 a month. And then, like here's some more niche apps that have done pretty well, just kind of adopting this strategy here.
Is there a world where somebody searches the app store for the problem that they're having, PDF to JPEG converter. They download the thing, they get hit with this weekly paywall, And then they just go back to ChatGPT and say, can you turn this JPEG into a PDF for me?
Absolutely. But then my counter to that would be like, why did they even search for that? And I think, you know, when we're talking about these numbers, Nick, like most people don't pay you, right? Like the average, like for one of our apps that's doing about 35,000 MRR, we get 12% of the people starting a free trial. Of the 12%, 60% are actually paying us. So they did not cancel the trial, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
So to give you some benchmarks, 5 to 10% is pretty good for people starting a trial. That's good.
Okay.
So that means, in other words, 95 to 90% of people not paying you is good. Okay. And then the people who activated trial to actually paying you, about 30 to 40% is average for most apps. So that's why I like the niche ones, because you'll get a higher trial to paid. And if you do a hard paywall, which means no X on your paywall, either pay us or get out, we've seen almost double the trial activation rates. For one of the apps that we acquired, when we had a hard paywall, we saw 8 to 10,000. I'll show you this real quick, because I'm a big proponent of hard paywalls and I'm a big proponent of data. The app was making about $1,000 to $2,000 a month with just 100 downloads. Hard paywall with the increased pricing went up all the way to over 10,000. What happened here? Soft paywall. We had to put the X. That little tiny X halved our sales. That little X on the paywall. And then we got the X back. No X again. We got it back up. And again, no new features, just pretty much. That's why I would force them to pay, just to see if you got some traction.
Is that just a split test that you ran, or you were getting negative feedback, or what was, why would you have to close it out if it was working?
Apple forced us to do it. Apple is very inconsistent with their reviews. So sometimes they're okay with hard paywalls, like the 35,000 MRR app that we have. They're okay with the hard paywall. Sometimes they're not. It was really finding the right reviewer. And one reviewer said no, one reviewer said yes, which is crazy.
Is that just a factor of, like it says, free to download, customer expectation? What goes into that?
Really depends on your reviewer. A lot of big popular apps really have a hard paywall. And you're like, why did they get to do it and we don't? And for this app, look, I'm not even doing a hard paywall. And we're able to generate, you know, $2,500 with this app. And it's like, I don't need to, but like at the same time, we A/B tested this. Sometimes a hard paywall works better. This time I didn't want to do it because there are some repercussions off of this. That's why I would just do it in a brand new way of doing it. Like a brand new app, because like I want to see if just in the early stages, if people are willing to pay or not.
Yeah. You know, if it works, then we'll invest more money into split testing and building out the feature set and like doing everything else. That makes sense. Any other best practices that we should know about when we're submitting the app for approval or even like into the testing phase, kind of setting the thing up for success? You mentioned, well, I want to put the exact keyword that I'm targeting as the title of the app. I want to put it in the first screenshot that pulls up. I want to put somebody's face there to attract attention. Anything else we should know about to set ourselves up for success?
Steve's response, plus how you can build these mini time-leveraged income streams that turn into pretty serious assets, not by swinging for the fences, but just by hitting singles.
When I find myself procrastinating, it's almost never about the work itself. It's about the decision fatigue surrounding the work, like how to reply to this message, or is this person going to make a good guest? Is this the right tool for the job? But if you want to sell products online, let me take some of that decision fatigue off your plate. There's a reason millions of businesses, including dozens of Side Hustle Show guests, choose our partner Shopify. Think of it as this one decision that makes all future decisions easier. For example, you no longer have to start from scratch in designing your storefront. You can just pick from one of the proven templates and then customize it to match your style. You can quickly generate product descriptions. You can use Shopify's built-in AI to enhance your product photography. You can even fire up email and social media campaigns to help drive traffic and sales. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing... Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/sidehustle. Go to shopify.com/sidehustle. That's shopify.com/sidehustle. When you're running your business, you're going to come to this crossroads. There's something that you need done that either you don't know how to do or you're not the best at, or it's something you really ought to be handing off to someone else. If you find yourself in that boat, think this is a job for sponsored jobs. When you sponsor your job on Indeed, you'll get matched with quality candidates who meet your exact criteria so you can focus on what you do best. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, you only pay for results. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Plus, Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
So if you're just launching your first ever app, okay, one, that frequency app, we were able to make $1,000 just with ASO, and the screenshots were butt ugly. I'm telling you the best practices, Nick, but I wanted to prove to everybody that I can make $1,000 with the ugliest screenshots. So they were literally screens of the app, and that was it. So as the best practices, again, time is the most important variable. If you can't do screenshots, you'll be fine. Get distribution first. You're going to need terms and conditions and private policy. So you got to have that. And there's some, like, you can Google it or you can just have ChatGPT write it up for you. But those are things that you need to have before launching an app. Now, you can just launch as a independent developer or a business. Obviously, business, you need a DUNS number and you need an LLC and all that stuff. But you can also just, we started this as a personal and I transformed it into a business. It was a hassle. So if this is something you're going to do, go ahead and start with personal. I've got clients that are doing like 20K a month just with a personal account. So it's not going to make that big of a factor. And just know that you can always change it. So this started as a personal because time, right? And then we launched.
Okay. And now it's under Young Aces.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Got it. That's definitely something I would overthink. Be like, well, it's going to show up on the download page. What do I want people to see here? Like, do I need a separate LLC for each thing that's like branded to the keyword? Okay. Don't overthink it.
That's part two, Nick. I'll come back for that. Okay. Once people have found success. But I do want to show you this one last thing on the paywall. Having the word free increased conversions by 11%. So you think buy a hamburger, get free fries. Right, you got to buy it to get the free thing, but adding that word free in front of a feature, a premium feature, if they bought it, increased conversions by 11%.
Okay.
Now, the word continue works the best on iOS. I know it's subscribe, but nobody wants to subscribe. I know you want to try like start free trial. Start free trial works better on Android because Android is, you know, people don't like to pay on Android. So if you had to launch on one platform, I would just launch on iOS. Most people make way more money on iOS than they do on Android. Okay.
Okay. So
30% increase in conversions with the word continue versus subscribe versus anything else. It works better. Okay. The last thing is, or second to last thing, no payment now. Right underneath, if you have a trial, by adding that one word, increase the trial activations by 30% for another app that we work with. So have no payment now right underneath your call to action, your continue button. The last thing is show some comparison. Yes, we can do math, but nobody wants to do math anymore. You have a paywall that shows a monthly plan as a yearly price, and then you have the weekly plan as a yearly price. When we showed it as a yearly price versus showing nothing and letting the users do the math, right? It just says $99 a month or $60 a year. We saw a 38% increase in conversions when we just showed the prices in the same format. Make them comparable. Just make it easier for the end user to see the comparisons in the same length of time.
Right, right. Yeah, just like fractions. I need a common denominator if I'm going to be able to make a decision here.
Yeah, exactly. You're way better at this than coming up. Common denominators, unbundle the very popular product. That's my takeaways from this.
And I love this. This is gold. Like, you know, just the language of continue. It feels like I'm just going to the next step and the logical next step. Like, I can continue. Oh, no payment today. Okay, I can continue. I was going to ask, because you mentioned syndicating the similar functionality app to Google Play, to the Android store. But you mentioned Android people don't want to pay. Like, why is that just a stereotype? What's the reputation there?
Probably a stereotype, but also true. Android has way more users, but they have all these phones too. And so they can defer, they can change from, like, I have this Android phone that I use for testing. It's 150, right? But this iPhone that we all have, you know, it's like $1,000. And so what we've just found is more people are willing to pay on iOS than they are on Android, but more people, you have a bigger reach with Android.
That's really interesting. I would have assumed, you know, copy and paste, or just ask Cloud Code, hey, can you generate the Android version of this with the same functionality, the same interstitial screens, the same paywall, like lather, rinse, repeat, and essentially reach double the audience. But maybe not quite that case.
You will reach a bigger audience. It's just though that audience is not going to pay you. So like even some of our big clients that are doing like six figures a month, they've sort of ignored the Android version. They're like, yeah, but you know, it's fine. It's just there for those who want to use it, but we don't really focus. A lot of their marketing efforts are not focused on the Android version.
How passive is this stuff once it's up and running? Like, to what extent are you tweaking the software or tweaking the keywords, or like doing any of this stuff on a monthly basis or a weekly basis?
Honestly, if I could just do this, the app side of things, that's what I would do. And, you know, we have multiple sides of our business and it is pretty massive. Like that paraphrase, I can maybe work on it, you know, an hour or two a week. And so I want to get back to running just more app stuff because we have an agency too.
Is that optimization or is that customer support? Like, where does the time go?
It's more optimization, man. I mean, I focus so much on distribution and monetization. Customer support for these apps, the good stuff about apps is if people want a refund, you don't have to do anything. Apple handles everything. So Apple, that 15, 30% that you have to give up, you just say, like the app that we acquired, we get people being like, hey, I forgot to cancel the trial. Like, can I get a refund? I'm like, I just send them the same template of email. Like, hey, go to Apple. But we get those very rarely. Like it's maybe one or two a week we get those emails.
Okay.
So it's not very common. And most people understand how to do stuff within the app. So the support is just not that much as you would think.
Do you set up a separate domain and help email for everything? Like here, you know, if you want something for the PDF converter thing, you got to email this. Or it's like, it's all under, you know, App Masters and all under the Young Aces like media brand.
I would just keep it under the same one because most people are not going to email you. Like I've seen people not even have websites for their apps and just like a Facebook page or an Instagram page. Apple will allow that. So again, back to my whole like time is the most important variable. Whatever gets you to launch and distribution the quickest, because that fixes everything, Nick. If you get downloads, you can fix your monetization, you can fix your retention, you can fix all this stuff. But if you don't have downloads, you don't have crap. So it's sort of like, that's why I just lean towards getting downloads, number one.
Okay. You mentioned buying apps, mentioned selling apps. So it seems like there's a robust ecosystem around these as their own little mini businesses, mini assets, especially if it has recurring revenue and has like traction. I could see how that would be an attractive asset. Is there a marketplace that you like? Like what's a typical multiple? Like how are these things valued?
I've acquired and sold a bunch of different apps. The way I think about it, I'm going to use this analogy. I love baseball. I love softball. You know, I still play in a slow pitch men's league. And I started thinking like, I'm not a home run hitter, Nick. Like I'm 5'7". Like I'm like a buck 50 soaking wet. So like, I'm just not going to hit home runs, right? Every time I try to, I pop up. And so I'm just a great single sitter. I will always get on base. Like I legit hit like 700 on a slow pitch, right? So
nice.
So I started thinking like, all right, let's use this philosophy when it comes to building businesses. Let's just hit a bunch of singles. Let's hit a bunch of singles and doubles and we can make apps and we can sell them. Flippa is the easiest. Okay, we just sold an app for, you asked me a range and I'll tell you the range, but let's just say five figures, under $50,000. I sold an app there, but above 10, right? And it was on Flippa, the app that we acquired. It was through a broker that I know very well, Evelyn Herrera. And she's like, Steve, I've got this app that's exclusive to you. Before I even make it public, I want to see if you want it. And I was like, Evelyn, I want this app because Nick, I already knew the keywords existed for this app and the app was already doing 500,000.
Okay. You're looking at it like, and your eyes get wide to be like, oh, there's already like three things I could do to double what it's doing.
Well, I just knew that the keyword existed. And I was like, what? They're already making 500,000?
without even getting the traffic that they could be getting.
They were already getting decent traffic. So this was the benefit. Okay. So when I saw it, I was like, okay, I knew that keyword. I knew that category. It's in the health and fitness space. And then it was already doing good revenues. So I was like, even better. Like, you know, $500,000 to zero, it's going to take me a lot longer to get to zero. But 1,000, 2,000, it's pretty quick. Like one algorithm change, your revenues might be screwed. Right. So I already knew that too. And then I looked at the app and I was like, okay, I can change the paywall. The onboarding isn't that good. And then no offense, I know we're talking about vibe coding, but I was like, it's harder for a vibe coded app to come into the space, in the health and fitness space, because you need a trainer, you need real humans to do this stuff. So that's what I saw.
Yeah. I'm thinking of what is your moat going to be if you get something, because there's the next people, there's the people listening to this now doing their own reverse engineering research, be like, well, this seems to be pretty popular. Maybe I could spin up my own version of this in a week and see what happens.
My opinion is distribution. If you can figure out a distribution channel. So why I acquired this app too is only ASO and Apple Ads. That was the only two marketing channels from a distribution perspective that they were utilizing to get to that point. So which means the opportunity is still huge. You know, I've been doing this for 17 plus years and the opportunity is still there. I'm still excited about this category, but I was like, okay, if I add on Facebook and Meta ads, there's these new campaigns called web to app, which are essentially mean you get people to buy on the web. You have your whole onboarding and your whole purchase on the web, but then they download the app. So that's why it's called web to app. They download the app. And so you offset Apple's like 15%, and you get to use Stripe or Paddle you pay them the 3-4%. So a lot better margins for you, but the distribution is now purely, probably has to be all paid. So you can use Google ads, you can use Facebook ads to drive distribution. And that's where I saw the bigger opportunity for this app. So to sell an app, you always want to leave a little bit more room for growth, right? You don't want to be like fully saturated. Hey, I've taken it everywhere I could. There's no room for growth. To sell an app, you have to show growth potential. And then for me as an acquirer, like I got to see that growth potential, because then what's the point of me acquiring this asset? Is it just cash flow? Is it just to, you know, make my numbers bigger?
Yeah. Would it be typically like 2-4x annual earnings or something?
Yeah. It's roughly around 2-4x.
Okay.
We've sold a bunch for 2. We acquired a bunch for 2. And then this one that we just recently acquired, pretty good chunk of change, but it was around 2.5 is where we landed.
Yeah. What's your take on the in App Store ad, like to promote your app? Like, is that worthwhile for a new developer if you've got some level of organic traction? You know, you mentioned earlier, like, I don't want to spend money. I want to get the downloads for free.
With Apple ads, which is what you are calling in-app ads, they are essentially like Google AdWords, but in the App Store. And so all you need are keywords. We've already done the keyword research, right? And Apple, back to your passiveness, Apple has this new campaign structure that we're seeing really good results on. It's called Max Conversions. And you can just start that. And that's just Apple saying like, I got you, Nick. Tell us how much you want to spend and tell much how many, what's the cost per install that you want, and I'll take care of the rest. We're actually seeing pretty good numbers, ROAS, return on ad spend perspective, just running those ads. So if you have to spend money, I'd start with Apple ads, or if you're doing Google, even though we told you not to, I would do Google ads, Android, I'll do Google ads, because Google ads, you can get a lot of cheap downloads, but they just might not pay you. Whereas Apple, you might be more expensive, but they're more likely to pay you. You literally just need keywords and you do exact match, right? And start with that. Or you can do max conversions and you can say, hey, Apple, I'm willing to spend, you know, $10, $20 a day. And Apple does not need, you know, certain metrics to make it smart, because you're just telling it what to bid on. So you say, hey, I'm willing to spend $10, $20 a day. I only want $1 to $2. You might not spend it though, but Apple is starting to get really smart with that stuff.
Is that a viable way to test your paywall, to test like, okay, I could spend 2 weeks driving some traffic here. If I wasn't ranking organically, I could see, does anybody want this thing? Is anybody willing to pay for this?
The way I do it is do keyword research and then building and seeing if I can get it to rank first and foremost. And then doing this growth hack, this lifetime free stuff that we talked about, like step two, that didn't work. Plan B is this growth hack. And then plan C would be run ads and then see what's going on. Because I'm cheap, Nick.
And step D, step four, go back to the drawing board. Yeah. If it still didn't work, go come up with a new app idea.
Dude, what I say is, look, we're giving you the numbers, and I want to be very transparent with everybody. Like these apps, I'm showing you the ones that are making money, but we also have like a bunch. So my hit rate from, if we're talking batting average, softball is 700. But with abs, it's about 400. Like, I need to launch 10 to get 4 right to generate money. So we have like a tattoo generator, tattoo app, and it's not making that much money. And so you guys can see as you check out Paraphrase and all these other apps, like there are other apps that we've tried that we vibe coded and we thought there was keyword volume, but sometimes those keywords just aren't going to be sticky as much as the other keywords. So I'm about 40% hit rate, batting 400 from an app perspective.
That's super helpful to know. And appreciate that level of transparency. And like, not everything we touch turns to gold, but if we touch enough things, you know, there's going to be enough gold. That's really cool. Steve, I've taken a ton of notes. I'm excited to dive back into Claude Code and see if I can get a couple of these things shipped, because I think that would be a lot of fun. What's next for you? What's got you excited for App Masters this year?
Just really get back to apps, building apps. I think there's a huge opportunity still with these Web2 app and with this vibe coding. Like, I think literally, Nick, like anybody can be an entrepreneur these days.
All good. Well, appmasters.com, you can find Steve over there. Be sure to check out App Masters on YouTube. Tons of cool tutorials and the kind of deeper dive stuff on everything we've been talking about today. And I want to hear what apps you guys build, listeners build, as a result from this episode. I think we've opened up the playbook a little bit and hopefully demystified some of the stuff that you can go put out into the world and see what kind of traction that it gets. Steve, let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation 2026 edition, and then we'll do a little rewind the clock back to 2017. I'll tell you what you came up with then.
Oh, that would be cool. I would say distribution, Nick. I would say think about distribution with any business. How are you going to get eyeballs? If you can figure out how to get eyeballs, you can figure out the rest. And I'm a living proof, because I had eyeballs with the podcast first that turned into an agency that in turn to me being able to acquire different apps. And so it led me to this great life that we have. But distribution would be my number one tip. Like, figure that part out.
Absolutely. You remember what you told me in 2017?
No idea, bro.
All right. It was connect with people. And the best way to do it is to interview people that you admire. That whole episode we did was about turning the App Masters podcast, which maybe at that time was like the app marketing show or something, into multiple streams of income. Into, you know, you had sponsorships and you had live events and you had the agency. It was like, it was really cool. Like, oh, we had 7 or 8 different income streams on the back of that podcast. And like you said, well, it led to the distribution piece of the pie here today. A couple takeaways for me. Obviously, we talked about following demand rather than trying to create demand for yourself. So looking at different market research, product research, keyword research type of tools before you go out and build anything. And then thinking really simple functionality. Like, don't try and recreate the world's most complex tools. Like, solve a single problem and go from there. And like Steve said, it might take a handful of swings before you find one that hits. Now, if you're wondering what to listen to next, go check out Steve's old episode from way back when in the archives. I think it holds up pretty well. But other than that, of course, you're free to, you know, choose your own adventure in the archives. I think you'll find most of the 700 plus episodes that we've done are pretty evergreen. But if you want a more curated approach, I want to invite you to try my little playlist generator quiz at hustle.show. Just answer a few short multiple choice questions and it'll build you a personalized playlist based of some of our greatest hits episodes based on your answers. So again, that's hustle.show. Totally free. Give it a try today. Big thanks to Steve for sharing his insight. Thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. SideHustleNation.com/deals is where to go to find all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thank you for supporting the advertisers that support the show. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. Fire off that text message to that friend of yours who needs to hear this, or maybe they've been dabbling with Claude Code a little bit already. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.